Netcasts you love.
From people you trust.
This is TWiT. Bandwidth for Tech News Today is provided by CashFly at CACHEFLY.com.
This is Tech News Today for Monday, July 26, 2010. Tech News Today is brought to you by GoToAssist Express. If you're in tech support, save time and money by supporting your clients and colleagues remotely with GoToAssist Express. For a free 30-day trial, visit GoToAssist.com/TNT. Welcome to Tech News Today. I'm Tom Merritt.
And I'm Sarah Lane.
I'm Darren Kitchen.
Behind the board is our fresh producer, Eric Lanigan.
Fresh.
Because it's Monday.
Yeah.
I just thought.
Fresh and alert. Sure.
Fresh and awake and alert.
Smells good.
Yeah, it smells great. Our top story today is WikiLeaks dropping 90,000 war docs. I guess some of them haven't been posted yet. There's about 70,000 plus that are actually there. And the news world is aflame with people going through these thousands of docs and uncovering interesting facts about the war in Afghanistan for the most part.
U.S. military not too happy about this.
You would think that this was coming from Bradley Manning, but WikiLeaks says no. This is not necessarily the stuff that Bradley Manning, who we've talked about before, had admittedly leaked some stuff to WikiLeaks. They're like, no, this is not that stuff. We never got anything from him.
But they also haven't said who it is. So
they do like to protect their sources, so maybe it's clever misdirection. I don't know.
Right. I mean, if it isn't him, I guess we don't really have proof that it isn't him, unless you just want to believe WikiLeaks.
WikiLeaks is back, though, in a big, big way. They had been down for a while. They had not been accepting uploads. And so it's likely this could be related to the Manning leak in some way, where somebody else hacked Manning or got a hold of a copy from him or something like that. But it is probably, I think retrospectively, this is going to be one of the historical days in internet history, akin to the Pentagon Papers being one of the historical days in journalism, newspaper history, back in the 70s, because this is, people are obviously calling this the Pentagon Papers of the Afghan War. Pentagon Papers were when lots of documents about the Vietnam War were leaked and really contributed to the ending of that war.
I mean, is this the day that internet privacy for our government died?
Yeah. I mean, if they ever had any, this kind of puts the nail in the coffin, doesn't it? It says anything you do can be made public.
And it really cuts down on the separation between us as individuals, moaning and groaning about Facebook privacy, for example. What's really private? You know, I mean, it's like this is the...
No one's an exception.
Exactly.
It's that point exactly that's made me think a lot about WikiLeaks and the role that it plays. And it reminds me a lot of that movie Sneakers, where it was all about there are no more secrets. And what is the world like where everything is leaked on WikiLeaks? Everything's completely transparent. Can we live in a world like that?
Yeah, it's the military is, of course, immediately saying this is putting people's lives at danger. WikiLeaks had a press conference and said, we actually haven't put everything up because we determined that some of it was sensitive and could put people's lives at danger. But we don't feel that anything we put up is time sensitive. It's older stuff, and we don't think it will, in fact, put lives at danger. And that's an interesting new dialogue that's going to happen where the military is usually unquestioned in, hey, if it puts lives at danger, we're not going to allow it.
Why would you want to do anything that would hurt anybody?
And someone saying, no, you know what? We have enough information to make our own estimation on it. And obviously, you know, the knee-jerk reaction is to say, well, the military knows better than you. But there is enough information around now that somebody could make a reasoned justification that they're wrong and act as a check and balance. And is that a good idea? Now that we have a new way of reacting to this sort of thing.
I mean, do you think anything's going to come of this? I mean, some of these documents spell out here details of what are war crimes, essentially. So do you think that there's any repercussions? And furthermore, do we know that this is completely unbiased?
Well, that's a good point. These documents were leaked to several news sources. The New York Times, was it The Guardian? Am I remembering that right? In the UK, and Der Spiegel in Germany. in order to let them go through them and decide what to report on. And so the New York Times is looking at this and saying, hey, no, this, you know, this looks legit.
Looks legit, and that's from the New York Times. And this is, you know, in a day and age where we can't even accurately validate an email that came from the Steve Jobs. So what's to say that WikiLeaks can't be, you know, the next frontier of warfare where it's all just about manipulating the information?
Well, and Julian Assange is actually very sensitive to that point and very careful about validating the source of the information, and he's very careful to say, we're not going to say that what they're saying is true, but we're going to say it did come from a valid source. So he's like, if these are military documents from the U.S. Army, the U.S. Army might be lying, but this is what the U.S. Army is saying, and they're not forged.
Right. I'm not saying that anybody forged 90,000 documents, but I'm just saying going forward, if this is, you know, the way of the future, then that's something to think about.
Oh, yeah. Information warfare has been a product of study for decades now, and this is another arena.
This is just the new
platform.
Which
it can be fought.
Yeah.
Absolutely. On to some good news for fair use and its posse. The court, which court was this that ruled this? I want to get this right because I want to give good and fair credit to the court in charge here. The New Orleans-based Fifth Circuit Appeals Court has ruled that the Digital Millennium Copyright Act's ban on breaking DRM only applies if you're violating copyright law.
So if I'm understanding this, then if you need a dongle to access a certain program that's very expensive, perhaps.
Yeah, sure.
If the dongle...
Avid editing systems are a good example of
okay.
That. That's what we were talking about earlier.
Yeah, so something that's very expensive, if somehow the dongle that you need to access it falls into the toilet.
Yeah, or you step on it and break it.
Something, Django the dog might get it.
Gets a hold of it,
right.
And she just chews the crap
exactly.
out of it.
Exactly. So if there's some sort of reason that the dongle breaks, then you're not doing anything wrong.
Yeah, what this court is saying is, as long as you're still within the license, mm-hmm. you have the right to circumvent that copyright protection to use your stuff.
But it doesn't give you the right to get out of paying for something that requires a license.
Right, exactly.
It shouldn't.
It's the first common sense approach to the DMCA that we've seen.
You're talking about this case in particular seems like it only applies to embedded systems, though.
In a limited view, perhaps. Here's what's really interesting about this. The case is between MGE, UPS, and General Electric. General Electric, the company, was bypassing dongles to continue to use software after the dongles expired, but the software license had not. So MGE UPS sued them, saying, hey, you got to buy more dongles for us. GE is saying, hey, we're not violating any terms of use with the license, and we should have the right to get around this dongle. We're not breaking any copyright law.
And that's the part that makes me wonder why the whole DMCA thing is even involved at this point.
Well, every other court up till now, ever since I worked at Tech TV when we first started dealing with this, has said if you're circumventing any kind of encryption, you're violating the DMCA. It doesn't matter what the purpose is. This is the first court to say, well, wait a minute. If you're not violating any law and all you're doing is circumventing encryption, then you have the right to do that.
Right,
that's
because this isn't about the encryption. I mean, the DMCA is about copyright, and this is about a contract dispute.
So MGE UPS can now appeal to the Supreme Court, but even if they don't, Cory Doctorow points out on Boing Boing, it's only a matter of time before somebody else loses a case and then points to the Fifth Circuit and says, well, wait a minute, the Fifth Circuit said that you get to do this, and then it has to go to the Supreme Court to be resolved. So one way or another, this is going to get its hearing in the highest court.
This is a win.
It is. It is for the win right now. Also for the win is the Library of Congress, and this isn't even in question. This won't have to be fought out in the courts. Library of Congress has added some new DMCA exemptions. So these are explicitly saying you are allowed to break the DMCA in these cases. And educational uses have been an exemption before. Unlocking your cell phone has been an exemption before. Well, they reaffirmed the unlocking your cell phone, but they also said if you want to rip a DVD to make a mashup, as long as you're under fair use, you can do that. We're going to grant you an exemption to make mashups. And even better, if you want to jailbreak your phone or you want to root your phone to run authorized software, not anything illegal, but you're running, if you're going to, I'm sorry, not authorized software, but legal software, You have the right to do that. They can't stop you. This is exactly the opposite of what Apple was asking for. Apple said, we'd like you to reject jailbreaking as an exemption.
Apple wanted to be able to sue us for jailbreaking our iPhone.
Right. So what does this mean to iPhone warranties now?
Well, that's a very good question. They, in the past, would have been violated. You've been violating your terms of service. But if you've got a DMCA exemption, you could still be violating the terms of service, because terms of service and law are not the same thing.
Right.
But somebody could take him to court and say, this is an unreasonable term of service because I have the right to do this.
But this is law, and this is coming down from the Library of Congress. And, you know, God bless their souls for doing this for us, like almost every year, it seems. Somebody go ahead and call 321 Studios. You know what I'm saying? DVD-X copy, if we can legitimately make backups now.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, that just like, that draws the line in the sand.
That
there
software,
go.
Yeah. Here's the rooting the phone portion. Computer programs that enable wireless telephone handsets to execute software applications where circumvention is accomplished for the sole purpose of enabling interoperability of such applications when they have been lawfully obtained with computer programs on the telephone handset.
And unfortunately, what this doesn't mean is that the device manufacturer, the operating system, whoever, has to provide you with tools to allow you to do so. It just means that if you go ahead and root your Droid or jailbreak your iPhone, there's no repercussions there as far as like the law is concerned. But unfortunately, we still have to deal with things like with the Droid X, Motorola putting that in that eFuse chip.
Yeah. And the DMCA still broadly forbids distributing to the public any technology, product, service, device component that's primarily designed to break access controls. So Apple could still go after the dev team for creating the jailbreak software, even though you have the right to use it.
I have to say the DVD portion of this, the mashup portion of it, is pretty surprising to me. But it's kind of exciting to see. You know, we keep talking about how YouTube is, more and more people are using YouTube as a legitimate way to distribute entertainment shows and the like. If they have more of control over what they can talk about in a fair use context, I'm excited to see some more content come out of that.
Yeah, that I think in some ways has a bigger impact.
Yeah,
as far as people being able to put stuff
up on YouTube.
Because
in the past, it was like, you've got a scene from something, you're taken down immediately.
It is going to make it more complicated on the takedown notice side, where I can still accuse you of violating my copyright and have your thing taken down. But then it's on you to go back to YouTube and say, oh, no, this is a mashup. There's an exemption for that.
Right.
And so now YouTube's got to deal with more of that counter notice crap.
And the fair use argument that people like to interpret the way that is best for them.
But it's good for the consumer because it means that you can go ahead and jailbreak your iPhone, not have to worry about, and then you'll love your iPhone so much more.
Exactly. One thing else that you would probably love is not having to go to someone's house to fix their computer. You do some tech support, right?
Yes.
Yeah, your job is in tech support. And GoToAssist Express is sponsoring Tech News Today, an easy way for you to save time and money. Can make you look like you're a hero to your clients and colleagues, they say. It's GoToAssist Express, brought to you by our friends at Citrix. Leo's longtime friends with the guys at Citrix. And GoToAssist Express is one of their products that makes it easy to support your clients and colleagues online. You can see the problem on their machine without having to be there. It's specifically designed for small business and professionals to support clients. And the best part is, you don't have to pre-install software on their machine. They call you up with the program. You don't have to be like, oh, I still got to go over and put GoToAssist Express on. You can start supporting them instantly online. So try it for free for 30 days. Visit GoToAssist.com/TNT. You start your sessions with one click. Works on PCs and Macs. You share your screen. You see what they see. And there's even an integrated live chat, so you can have a conversation with them while you're walking them through. GoToAssist Express, free for 30 days. Give it a shot. GoToAssist.com/TNT. On to iPhone users who love AT&T.
Every one of us.
Let's pretend like
big
you haven't
romance.
Read this story. Before you had read this story, what percentage would you have guessed would say, oh, yeah, I love AT&T. I'm an iPhone user.
Oh, I don't know. 30?
30? What about you, Eric?
That sounds about right. Yeah, about way 30. Less than half.
Derek? Darren?
Thank you. I haven't had the pleasure of using AT&T, so I couldn't make an educated guess there.
But just based on the people you know. If you had to guess the percentage.
What you've heard about AT&T
service. Oh, yeah. But what I've heard is in the Bay Area. So I'm just going to go ahead and play that card right now. And I hear it's really good in Montana.
Yeah.
What about New York City?
I don't think they even,
have more.
Oh, actually, I guess they don't. Yeah. Okay. The one place that I could choose. Anyway, I know it's good in Missouri. I know AT&T is great in Missouri.
Chris, in the audience, what would you have guessed number-wise? 50-50. Well, we're all wrong. Well, except for you, who copped out. It's 73%, according to the Yankee Group.
That's a passing grade.
They're a market research firm who went and surveyed folks, said, are you, you know, satisfied on a scale of 10 with your service? iPhone owners scored their satisfaction with the carrier as an 8, 9, or 10, where 10 was the best, 73% of the time.
We were talking a little bit about this earlier and sort of expressing our disbelief. Wow, you know, what, AT&T pay for this? What's going on here? But then we kind of came to the conclusion that I think a lot of us hear so much about the bad reception, AT&T, and, you know, we've... A little bit of an echo chamber. We also live in an urban area where there are problems, and the problems may not exist in other places. Missouri, for example, or my mom's house. She has AT&T, and she loves it. She's not even that far away from Petaluma.
I think what it shows is that people, in their minds, they don't separate the carrier from the phone. I think a lot of these people are saying, yeah, I love the iPhone, and it's fast, and it browses the web, but I don't think they're thinking about the actual service because they're not reviewers, they're not press, they're not comparing it to what it could be.
Right, and there's a psychological, if you've never heard that there's an issue, if you don't read news stories about AT&T service and don't really follow the tech scene, then you don't know that there's an issue and you're happy.
Yeah,
you know, there is an ignorance is bliss part of this.
Yankee Group speculated there's a halo effect of people who just like the iPhone.
Yeah.
And again, same sort of thing where they're not super critical. They don't expect it to do a whole lot. And because it does a crazy amount, they're like, oh, I think of AT&T as my iPhone and I love it. And so it just kind of seeps over. Also interesting number here, the iPhone users, 77% of them said they would buy another iPhone, which sounds high, but actually compared to what you think, I almost think that sounds a little low. So that, I mean, that means 23% of the iPhone users said, yeah, I wouldn't buy another one.
Oh, I mean, once you're in that system, you know, of course you're going to stick around. I think 77 is pretty high. There's a lot of great alternatives. One of the other numbers that was also at the bottom of that story there was that 20% of Android users saying that they...
No, actually, they've corrected that.
They have corrected
20%
that.
20% of all smartphone customers say they'll buy an Android phone.
Thank you, because I got the wrong information on that
story. They had it wrong earlier. They've added a correction to the story since earlier.
Because that had me a lot of that. I was calling BS on that.
Yeah, a lot of people were saying... It was 77% of iPhone users would get another one, but only 20% of Android users would get another Android phone, and that was a typo.
Right, and that's what we're skeptical about. So, all right,
so 20% of all smartphone customers say they'll buy an Android phone. I don't know how many of those are current iPhone users. That would be the really telling detail.
Yeah.
Is what percentage of iPhone users would get an Android phone? I'm sure if you pay a Yankee Group for the rest of the story.
Well, this is a great time because there are so many wonderful smartphone options, and you can just go down to any store in like San Francisco, pick one up. You got plenty of choices and lots of information to help you make an educated decision.
Yeah, even totally irrelevant information like the specific absorption rate of the gadgets.
Not necessarily irrelevant, but perhaps misleading.
Perhaps misleading
How
would be a better way.
How do you absorb a device?
You put it up really close to your head and you push. the CTIA, they're the folks who are the trade industry for mobile phone makers now. They're not cellular telephone anymore. I can't remember what the C is about now, but they're the mobile phone industry. And they are mad at San Francisco for passing the law requiring anyone who sells a cell phone to post its radiation level, the specific absorption rate.
So that means I go into an AT&T store, I want to buy a new phone, and I've got some phones on the shelf, and their price tags are also going to tell me their levels of radiation.
Yeah.
As determined.
Based on the scale. Mm-hmm. And the CTIA has already pulled out their once-a-year show from San Francisco. They're like, we're not going to have the San Francisco CTIA wireless event there anymore. Forget it. We're gone. Screw you. Now they're suing the city of San Francisco. So this is where it gets silly. Now, I personally think that this system that San Francisco is trying to put in place is useless. We don't know whether radiation is harmful or not, and in what way. The FCC has decided that 1.6 watts per kilogram is the max radiation that can come out. So what San Francisco is doing is saying, well, we should put these numbers that are up to 1.6 up so you can pick the lower one.
Well,
but we don't know what's low enough and whether a lower specific absorption rate is any safer than a higher one.
It's good intentions by people who don't understand how radiation works.
Yeah.
I mean, the idea isn't a bad one if these numbers actually made sense, but all it's going to do is instill fear in folks, and they won't buy a phone that is perhaps extremely healthy to use, and it's going to be the phone that they want because the number's higher. That's just not the way that we should be reading this stuff.
Number's higher depending on how you hold it. Where you hold it.
Well, and that's the other thing, is what number do you use? Because you have a different SAR rating in your hip pocket than you do holding it up next to your head, or how you hold it next to your head, or how far from your head you hold it, or whether you use a headset. So
exactly.
There's lots of reasons to object to this. However, the CTIA lawsuit is trying to claim that the San Francisco is infringing on federal law by regulating cell phones. And regulating cell phones is the specific and exclusive province of the FCC. And so they're treading in the FCC's territory. I'm not sure that asking someone to put information up next to the point of sale is what the FCC does.
Yeah.
I don't know that this is really crossing into FCC ground. It might cross into FTC ground.
I can't think
Federal
of a time
Trade
where
Commission.
We've seen this before. Well, that's a good point. It's kind of like Energy Star, but
yeah.
Maybe there needs to be more national program that has some sort of better basis than some, you know, numbers that depend on how you hold it.
I mean, they're essentially saying that San Francisco is violating the same clause of the Constitution that the southern states did during the Civil War. So I'm not sure that holds water.
I think they're just worried that there are going to be less mobile phone sales.
I think they're just mad. Yeah. They're just, just pissed.
It's silly, though, because they're not regulating. They're not even requiring disclosure. The information is already disclosed, but in pamphlets. They're just requiring that same information be in a different location.
They saw that Facebook trailer and they're like, we'll sue you in federal court. And they got all fired up.
Facebook.
On to Facebook, adding a delete account option. Now, this is...
Previously, it was you were able to disable your account, but then it was kind of a confusing... There was like a 30-day waiting period, and during that waiting period, if you used your account in any way, then the time would go back to zero.
And reactivated or something.
Right, and it was... I mean, this was... Some people chose to say, well, Facebook they're making it impossible to get out. It's like, no, it was possible. It was just somewhat complicated, and Facebook had its reasons for that. Apparently now there's a big red button, delete it all. So it's not just deactivating it, it's wiping you out. You were never there. You don't exist.
When you check the delete account button, it purports to permanently delete your account and all information you have shared. Gone.
Am I the only one with a Facebook hangover?
Do you have a,
I think I have a Facebook.
Did you have
hangover.
A little too much Facebook last month?
It's not that. Over the last 6 months, I've had enough Facebook.
Are you thinking of using your big red button?
I don't want to use my big red button. I just want to use it on all the people that are on my I just need to move them to a fan page. Never mind. This is irrelevant. But yes, I think it's great that they have this option here. Can we be done with it?
I think while I suppose if you had... If you were to delete your account and 2 days later go, you know, I was in a bad mood that day, I really wish I could go back, then you're not going to like the big red button, right? Mm-hmm. You would have liked that little waiting period. But for most folks, probably by the time you get to the point where you want to delete your account, you might as well just delete it.
You can still, you can still do the deactivation,
right.
Apparently. I didn't take that away.
So. Right. So I think it's probably just going to make people who go, you're not letting me delete my account, happier because then they can't.
All right. I got a cure for your hangover. Take 2 tabs of Firefox and manage them with candy.
I was trying to make a cowbell joke just then, and it didn't work.
No, neither did that. Mozilla is testing a new Firefox interface that's designed to tame the long string of tabs that stretch across the top of any browser. It's called Tab Candy. You get it by downloading a special beta version of Firefox. There's not a plugin for it yet. They're kind of testing it entirely separate. And... It's pretty nifty, man. I mean, it looks cool. So what you do is you press a button, and it takes you from the normal view of Firefox into a little desktop where you can move these representations of your tabs around into little folders and, say, create a tab of stories to read and a little group of this. And then when you click on that group, it opens those up in a window that just has those tabs. And then you can close back out of that into the desktop area and open up another group of tabs. Or you can open up several groups of tabs in different windows.
For tab-happy folks, this is a great... I mean, if you want to... If you're like me, I always have more tabs open than I can actually see on one monitor, right? So I'm scrolling back and forth. I forget where I am. It's become actually a constant source of frustration for me. So to be able to organize them... And it kind of has an iOS 4 feel to it for me, you know, to be able to put stuff into groups is great. And it kind of, you know, well, at least for OS 10 users, it reminds me of Expose and kind of how I use Spaces a little bit. So I love the idea, but it does make things more complicated.
It doesn't feel any different than just what we've been doing for ages, which is, oh, I'm doing research on this, and now I have a tangent where I need to do research on that. Control N, open a new window.
Right.
You know, and with Chrome, you can just kind of move them from window to window. So, you know, while I support everything Firefox does, I kind of like, what's new with this?
It is a little easier to organize the tabs on a single desktop space when you can just drag them back and forth than it is to grab a tab and pull it off and put it in another one.
What I've always wanted, and you know, if it exists, let me know, but I've always wanted kind of the Amazon-style tabs. You know how Amazon has, like, the big tabs across the top and then the smaller sub-tabs? I want my tabs that say, like, TNT research and Hack 5 research and all of these different, and then when I go into those, I've got the sub-tabs underneath. But.
Yeah, maybe that's, I mean, they haven't finished adding features to this, which is why they haven't put out an actual plugin for it yet. And maybe that's a way for those tabs to manifest themselves later. Rather than having it right now where it's like, well, your group of tabs is in a separate window, say, oh, we'll create Uber tabs based on your groups.
Uber tabs.
And then the sub-tabs could, you know, just show up right below it. Because I've used a few different tab management plugins, and the ones that work the best seem to be the ones that just, instead of having them scroll off the screen, just create a second row. But then after a while, that is a problem in and of itself because
it just gets ugly.
You get like three or four rows and it starts to take up space.
And it's kind of nice to be able to have them off to the side where you know they're there. You can access them when you need to, but there's not this visual information overload of having so many things open. That's at least where I run into problems.
Well, I'm thankful that there's a new approach to it because we definitely need a couple of new ideas when it comes to managing the tabs because I don't know about you guys, I get lost in them.
Yeah.
Yeah.
On a totally different note involving scary coming up black hat news, which we just have had a parade of over the past couple of weeks as we get nearer and nearer.
Everything's coming up black hat.
Researchers have discovered a vulnerability that they have named Hole 196.
Not Hole 196.
I love this name. Airtight Networks company researcher discovered it, and essentially it's a man-in-the-middle attack for WPA2 encryption, the strongest encryption
we
have for Wi-Fi.
Well, this is for WPA2 with 802.11x, which is what enterprise use with like Radius servers and stuff like that to do enterprise level WPA. It's not the pre-shared key stuff that we all use on our
toy routers. So this now does not apply to me anymore.
Yes. But if you were inside the network at a, you know, on a secure wireless network that uses 802.11x, this is, you know, when this comes out, you'll have the tools or the know-how to go ahead and spoof certain kinds of packets that allow you to maybe look like you're the router.
To create this attack, you have
in the middle stuff.
You have to be an authorized user on the network already, correct?
Already, yes.
Yeah. So that's the one big jumping
off. So this isn't, oh, hey, you can go down to company XYZ and crack their WPA2 802.11x network. That's too many. You know what I meant.
But mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
Can't do that.
No, you can't do that.
You have to be an inside person.
Mm-hmm. This is more like a disgruntled administrator.
Yeah, it's an inside job.
And it just allows you to potentially do like a man in the middle attack where you get to sniff everything in between. Good stuff.
Sniffing
stuff. So we'll see. We'll see after. I'll be here next week post Black Hat and DEF CON, and we'll see what comes of this.
Yeah, we always get a bunch of these that end up not being as impressive. And then we get a bunch of these that didn't sound that great, and then you see them, and they're way impressive. So it's always interesting how they shake out at the end. On to the lightning round. Nice.
You like that?
Those are our high-tech sound effects.
I do a good lightning.
You're leading us off in the lightning round, so strike.
All right. Google and the city of Los Angeles have hit a bit of a snag implementing Google Apps into the city's various departments. Delay costs could top $100,000 for Google, who missed a June 30th deadline to get all of Los Angeles city employees up and running on Google Apps.
And there's more rumors supporting Google Music storefront could launch this winter. Sources from the New York Post say that Andy Rubin, the head of Android, has accelerated talks with the music industry group publishing firm, in particular the Harry Fox Agency.
The WebOS phones are going to be the only phones you can get from HP. They've announced they will not make or sell any Windows Phone 7 phones. They bought WebOS. They're going to use it.
From the Apple rumor mill, the company may be launching new Mac Pros, speed bump iMacs, a new cinema display, and maybe the Magic Trackpad tomorrow.
The U.S. military is testing universal translators. DARPA has been evaluating a trio of automatic speech recognition devices. These handhelds process spoken text language into text, translate the text into another language, and speak it aloud. So far, they can hear and understand Pashto, Dari, and Iraqi Arabic.
Finally, the British royal family has added a Flickr account to their Twitter and YouTube accounts. Over 600 images have been added to the Flickr account, some current photos from behind the scenes at events, as well as historical photos of the royal family as children, including some that date back to the reign of Queen Victoria.
Now, this is exciting to me, but then you pointed out, well, they already have a YouTube channel. They already have a Twitter account. Now it's just a Flickr account.
I was just saying how, like, savvy they are, how on the ball they've been.
Well, at first I went, Flickr account, cool. Remember, you know, the Obama administration, you know, the whole that night and of the election and everything. I really enjoyed looking through those. Queen has a BlackBerry. I don't know. They're more connected than we thought.
Dude, they're going to have an IRC channel next. It's going to be awesome.
They're going to open a MySpace page. Yeah.
The Royal IRC channel.
Chanbot. The Royal Chanbot.
The Royal Chanbot. The Royal Nixerve. Trying to think of how the royal Wii gets used in there. She does have a Wii, actually.
Really?
Nintendo gave her the royal Wii.
On the royal IRC, you would have to use parliamentary procedure.
Right. Yes. Exactly. All right, let's take a look at the calendar, shall we?
Calendar. StarCraft II releases tomorrow, Woo! So if you're interested...
I might actually head over. The GameSpot right near my house. The GameStop near my house is going to be doing the midnight selling. I might have to just go over and eyeball it.
You're not going to do the midnight, are you? Do you want it that badly?
I might swing by and take a look and see what the crowd's like. Yeah. If there's not a big crowd, I might find myself wandering in.
All right. Well, if you come in bleary-eyed, we'll know why.
Yeah.
It's more fun if there's a big crowd.
I'll go by. They open the store at 10 for the line, but they don't sell till midnight. So I might go by at 10 and just see what it looks like. Just to scope it out. Just so I can report
just
on it tomorrow.
Check it out. You're in a new hood. You got to see who's into StarCraft in the new hood. iPhone 4 hitting 17 more countries on Friday.
Congratulations, iPhone 4.
Yes.
These are countries where people do not have left hands. Correct? Is that right?
Yes. It's a one-handed country rollout.
On to the voicemail, and our voicemail comes from Ryan Butler today, and he's kind of throwing down, folks, because there's a little post-production here, a little background music element.
Hey, guys. This is Ryan from Birmingham, Alabama. Love the show. I'm sure the expert research team at TWIT is already on this one, but wanted to connect the dots for your listeners. Last week, I heard you guys talking about some vans that drive themselves from Italy to China. And before that, story about full-sized unmanned planes. Couple that with robots in Asia that have facial recognition software so they can recognize people and arrest them, as well as recent advancements in artificial intelligence. I think it's pretty clear to everybody that the Terminators are coming! The Terminators are coming!
See, so that's why you get the Terminator music behind. Everybody's like, why has he got Terminator music behind his stupid voice? Well, because the Terminators are coming. I think he stitched it all together for us. It's time to run.
Got to give it up for Rai Rai. He really went the extra mile on that voice.
I'm glad you know him well enough.
I think we're on a familiar enough basis for me to call him Rai Rai.
He did go on a little bit saying we need to get our molten metal together and get prepared. So we're with you, Ryan. Thanks for alerting us, for finally waking us up to the realities we face. Shall we move on to the emails? TNT@twit.tv is the email address. What do we got first? It's our only email today.
First one is from John R. Perfect.
Are he?
I hope he are, because that's the best name ever. In episode 36, you talked some about the iPhone maybe coming to T-Mobile USA and, of course, mentioned the yes, no, maybe so Verizon iPhone and the CDMA, GSM, LTE issues surrounding it. If Apple's unwilling to build an iPhone with the CDMA radio, then won't it be several years before Verizon gets the iPhone? Even if Verizon really lights up LTE 4G before the end of the year, how long is it going to take to roll out LTE all over the Verizon coverage area? I think 4G headsets on Verizon are going to have to be hybrid LTE and CDMA, EVDO devices for a while. Otherwise, you leave the 4G city you live in and be carrying a brick till you reach another 4G city.
That's a very, very good point about the portability of it. I just wonder if people would be so iPhone crazy that they would buy an iPhone knowing that would only work in 10 cities, dozen cities at a time.
I hope not.
Well, Verizon would be stupid
unless
enough
you don't do a lot of
to
traveling.
Pull out to bring out an iPhone of all things that is only going to work in certain cities. Come on, that's not going to happen. I mean, if we're going to have an iPhone that it's plain to see, as John Perfect here wrote, that if it's going to happen before they roll out the LTE network, it's going to have a CDMA chip. And what's wrong with that?
Well, I guess that's the only point of debate is whether the Verizon iPhone hasn't arrived because they were waiting for LTE and didn't want to make a CDMA chip, mm-hmm. or if the Verizon iPhone hasn't arrived because they were just waiting for their exclusivity agreement to expire, and we don't really know when it ends.
Yeah,
it could be a combination.
I don't think this comes down to the CDMA chip.
Apple could be saying, look, we don't want to come out with a Verizon iPhone until we can add something to it, in which case they'd be waiting for LTE, but they would put a CDMA chip in it.
Maybe the first 4G iPhone. Uh-huh.
That's what I've been thinking for a while. Is that the next iPhone, the iPhone 4G?
That's playing the long game.
Is available on Verizon, and it's not. I don't think we'll see it till next summer. I mean, I don't think suddenly LTE launches in November that Apple's going to go off the book and say, oh, we're going to go off cycle and put one out early. I think next summer we see the iPhone 4G. It works on LTE and it's available on Verizon and AT&T.
But will it be available in white?
No. You'll be able to get your iPhone 4 in white next summer.
You could get
for $99.
You get a white MiFi and call it a day.
Right.
Yeah.
All right. Thanks, everybody, for watching and listening. That's it for our show. Of course, Darren is on the show every Monday now. You can also find him at Hack5 or vision3.com/Hack5. You can call us, 260-TNT-SHOW is our phone number, and find us online at twit.tv/TNT. We'll see you tomorrow.